This is Haystack Health Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Health Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Health Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad you're with us. Our show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage, your one-stop shop for all your mortgage needs. Their number is 720-895-0500. Always good to have our good buddy Kurt Rogers with us. Mr. Rogers, how are you, sir?
Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, is that
yeah, exactly.
You almost said that.
I have to say that I never watched that as a kid. I don't even know what years that came out, but that was not my show.
I watched it when I got in my 20s because my kids were watching it.
Okay.
But I didn't watch it when I grew up either.
Well, maybe it was after.
I watched The Roadrunner.
Yeah. Now, there was a couple of, me and some guys were talking the other day about Captain Kangaroo. Do you remember that?
Oh, watch that one.
Oh, my goodness.
He was just a jolly old feather. He was a summertime Santa Claus type guy.
Back then, we're all just simple shows. You know?
It didn't take much to entertain us.
Exactly.
Now it takes a whole lot more.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we were going to be doing this pretty much weekly with Kurt as far as updates. Of course, our show is here every week at this time. Your Money Matters. But what's some updates this week, Kurt?
Well, we're going to be getting a new Fed's chair in May, and his name is Kevin Warsh. Now, Kevin was previously with the Feds before, but he wasn't the chair of it. Kevin Warsh's preferences, he's a little bit what they call more dovish. He's more interested in lowering rates. He's not as concerned about inflation because he thinks inflation is always running 60, 90 days behind. And he's not really concerned about the job numbers because if you watch the BL math about the job numbers, they're always coming back and changing them. They're not as good as they keep posting. So I think that's going to be a good change. I think that's kind of what we need for 2026, is to have rates looked at to be dropped a little bit more often as we go through the year and more consistent. Rates will continue to drop through 2026, in my opinion, but they won't drop quickly. I don't think they're going to come in and drop them by a half or three quarters of a point. It's going to be a slow process to make sure everything stays in line. But what we are seeing in 2020, going into 2026, November and December, property values rose 4%. Year after year average is going to be 4%, which was a little bit surprised because they had been tracking it around 2 to 3. One of the reasons is 24% of the people buying homes now are first-time home buyers. With rates starting to move, that's starting to draw them into wanting to be a homeowner. 28% of the homes that are sold in cash. See, now what we don't know about them, did they sell for over asking? Did they sell for under? They sold for cash.
Mm-hmm.
And the surprising number, because of where rates are, 32% of the people that bought a home paid cash.
Okay.
That number's normally in the 20s, so it's gone down.
Okay. Now, I think 28% was sold over asking price, okay?
Over asking.
Yeah. And then 32% sold using cash.
That's correct.
Okay, all right.
So the people seem to think that everybody's negotiating. They are, but some people say, no, we want this price, and there's bidding wars going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the home values are starting to stay up and be pretty consistent. Now, that's not nationwide.
Okay.
I mean, there's parts of the country that are much worse, but for Colorado, which is where we're concerned about,
sure.
These are the numbers that are coming out.
Wow. All right, great information there. All right, today we're going to talk about concessions. And if you have ever sold a home, you may be familiar with that word. If you have bought a home, you're interested in the word another way, what can you get? What can you get that seller to concede to you? So when we just bring up that word as a whole, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the seller being willing to negotiate incentives into the home to help you make the decision to buy the home. And there's different ways they can go about doing it. There's basically four types of concessions. But it's the seller willing to say, okay, I'd like you to make an offer on my home. I'm willing to give you a concession.
Okay. And then why would a seller, let's say, why would they even do that? I mean, I know they want to sell the house. So is it priced wrong sometimes
That's a great question because there's so many moving parts. What's motivating the seller to move? Can they sit on it and wait? Mm-hmm. Do they need to get out of it now? Are they late on payments? There's so many things that come into play. And if you drive up their street and there's three or four homes for sale, how do they get you attracted to that one? So they offer concessions. And like I mentioned, there are four different types of concessions that are out there. One of them is that you can do is called pay your closing cost. So when you're looking at a loan, whatever the closing costs come in, whether they're $3,000 or $8,000, you can get the seller to pay those closing costs. That's one of the ways to do it. They can pay the title fees. They can pay the appraisal fee. If there's any lender fees, they can even pay your escrows. And escrows are establishing your taxes and insurance. The other program that they have is called buy-downs. So there's concessions or buy-downs. And the reason concessions are being talked about more now than they have in the last 5 years is because of where rates were. It's a buyer's market. It's not a seller's market. 2-3 years ago, homes were appreciating at 7% and 8%. Now they're appreciating at 3% and 4%. So how do I get somebody to buy my home? Well, lenders came out with, because of where rates were now, not before, with what's called buy-downs. What a buy-down is to where the seller will pay the cost to buy the rate down from, let's say, 5.5% and or 5.75%, and I'm going to use an example. I have a client right now that the seller has agreed to pay for the 2-1 buy-down, and that's a tune of about $14,500. But it buys the rate down from the 5.75% that the seller has. It buys it down to 3.75% the first year. So that payment goes down over $700 a month, almost $800 a month the first year. The second year, it goes down about $350.
Okay.
So the seller's taking that money that it costs at $14,500, and they've put it into like a kitty into an escrow account. And each month, that portion that the homeowner's not paying comes out of that kitty. So that 2-1 buy-down works real well for them. So in 2 years from now, they're going to be at 5.75%. But one of the advantages to that program, if you go with a 2-1 or you can go to a 3-2-1, is if you don't use the money, and here's a great time to where the 2-1 buy-down works, if you don't use all that money that's put in that kitty, let me explain. 14.5 goes into the bucket that's in an escrow. And in 8 months from now or 10 months from now, rates have dropped down to 5.25%. Mm-hmm. You get to take the money out of that bucket because that's your money. And you can use it to refinance and get 5.25%. So you start at one that's 3.75% and locks in at 5.25%. And you have a loan. So that's pretty advantageous when you're looking at how much money you can save. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really cost the buyer or the seller that much. Another kind of buy down is just a flat buy down. So there's ways of looking at that. And take that 14.5, and if you come to me and say, okay, what can I do? Well, I can take your rate from maybe 5.75 down to 5.25 or 5.375. Use that money to buy the rate down. Well, that drops your payment about $200 a month.
And that's significant.
So it's yeah. And that's permanent. You're at 5.25% and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. Even if rates come down at 26 to 5.25%, you're already there, and the seller paid for it. And it's all built into the appraised price, so that the seller doesn't have to raise the price to sell you the home. They're just making concessions for that. Other things that you can use concessions for is covering needed repairs. Mm. A couple of years ago, when somebody was buying a house, everybody was waiving inspections. So if they needed repairs, nobody was getting them done. That's a buyer's market now. So it's changed a little bit.
Right.
Some homes don't need much. But there are homes that have what I call the TLC type that they need more work. So how much of that can you get the seller to do? And there's all kinds of programs out there that you can have the home repaired when you buy it. You can have it repaired afterwards and have it financed. But the seller can help in those concessions to make that work.
Mm-hmm. Again, Kurt Rogers with us. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Kurt has been our exclusive mortgage lender since we started Haystack back in 2009. So I'll tell you, he's done a great job for us. He'll be glad to help you as well. And always welcome just to visit with you by phone to answer your questions. I know we go through a lot on these shows, but again, his number is 720-895-0500. All right. What about just a price discount, saying, hey, instead of giving me, you know, $5,000 for credit, just take that off the house. Can that work?
You can do that also. Where the concessions come in, and they can help you with just the price and lower it or fix the home. But if you get concessions put in, that means that either lowers the price, which lowers the payments and help you qualify, or it means they're bringing $14,000 to the table, and you're not bringing that cash, so you have less cash to come to the table. You always have to bring something, but not all of it. So concessions are starting to become a big talking point, and I anticipate that will happen throughout the year. Now, some sellers won't go through concessions because their home is perfect. I mean, the friend of mine that we just did yesterday that took the 2-1 buy down, the seller underpriced his house by $50,000. Now, I don't think he knew that. I think he was told that that's the right price on it. But when we went to get the loan approved, the lender said, we figured the house at $50,000 more, we don't need an appraisal.
Oh, wow.
So it saved the customer even more money. So there's...
So is that a realtor error?
No. Well, it could be.
Okay.
We don't know what motivated the seller to say, here's the price, I want it to go quickly. I don't want a lot of people coming through my home. So there's a lot of things that can come into play. But just because they're offering at a price doesn't mean that that's appraised price.
Right.
Most of the time they are, because a realtor is not going to, especially in today's market, going to price a house above the average in that neighborhood.
Sure. And then I guess you got to figure out, well, then what should you do? Everybody's needs are different, or maybe what they're trying to accomplish is different. So then you just got to figure out,
what's best for you?
What's best? Just put a pen and paper to it, yeah.
And that's one of the things that we have, is I have a software program that I can plug in, take that $14,000, and I can plug it in there, and I can put it to cover your closing costs and tell you what your payment is, how much cash you bring. I can tell you how much 2-1 buy-down, or if you want to do a straight-up buy-down, where to put the money and which way it works. Or I can tell you if you want to fix the home up a little bit in the process. And what this program does is it shows you the cost in the first year, but it shows you the what's going to happen over the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years in that money that you received. Where's the biggest bang for your buck? If you're buying a home to be in it maybe 5 years and move on, then you'll be able to see which one saves me the most money. Mm-hmm. Instead of just saying, well, this one sounds good. Well, which one's the best for you? Do you like the lower payments up front, or do you just like the rate because you're going to be in the house for a longer period of time? So there's software program out there that I can show you before you go out shopping. So when you're out getting ready to look, if you have that in front of you, you have a good idea which one you think is going to work best, and you can relate that to your agent. So you talk, because most agents understand that there's different types.
Mm-hmm. So, how much does the realtor get involved in that? They're working for you as the person. So I'm just curious. I mean, do most realtors understand?
Most realtors understand that. It just depends on, in my opinion, is the realtor willing to think that the price of the house that the seller will have to negotiate? They'll give you concessions. Sometimes they get the sense from the listing agent that we're not negotiating at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you've got 2 or 3 people bidding on a home, that could possibly be true. But if the home's been on the market for 45 days, and they have no other bids coming in, there's probably going to be some concessions.
Right.
And the realtor is going to know that. Each case is different, but the worst they can tell you is no. And you can always do a little homework to find out what the value of the home is and talk with your agent.
Yeah. And that's where I think it's key in the beginning, is talking to your agent about it.
Have a relationship with them to make sure it works.
And that's why it's so important to find a good, experienced agent.
Correct, especially with the rules that changed a couple of years ago, having somebody that understands all of it, and that's where the pre-approval and the pre-qual comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So when you write those up and you get those done before you go look, everybody knows what you're going to be doing. At least your agent does. You've got a game plan, so there's not a surprise. You know when you make this offer, you're going to ask for this, maybe to get them as a pulse.
Right.
I want this for a 2-1 buy-down. Let me give you an example. You're going to go out to buy this house, and you see this. You say, I want a 2-1 buy down, and that's going to cost $14,500. And you kick that out to the seller, and he says, I ain't paying $14,500. He didn't say he wasn't paying. He said he's not paying $14,500. So maybe we take a different concession. but you started at this one and you worked at that one. But you know what's going on through the process. You've pre-educated yourself, so you know the different options you have, and you'll find a weakness maybe with the seller to where you can get that.
Right. Last question for our break here. Who can pay for concessions? When you're going through this process, your sellers, can agents get involved in that?
Yes. Okay. Realtors can get involved in paying them part of the concession. Concession is normally paid for by the seller.
Okay.
They're going to give the concession. The agents can get involved. Seldom is that the case. I think if the price is high enough, the seller or the agents will get involved. But they can. You can have other people that can help you with the concessions to get it, like family members can come in and help. Hmm. But, yeah, agents can help.
Right.
Most people don't realize that.
Hmm.
That's again, what's your relationship with your agent? Can you ask them for them? Worst they can tell you is no.
Sure. Absolutely. 720-895-0500 is the number. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break and more coming back right after this.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you've been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people view the evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one who's hurt, you have a good idea of what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals whom you don't know and were witnesses to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886.
Need new glasses fast? With Stack Optical's on-site lab, you'll get your prescription glasses in just 3 to 4 days. No long wait times. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I've trusted my eye care to Allen Stack and Stack Optical for the last 15 years. Eye exams are only $69, and that should be a part of your physical checkups each year. For over 50 years, Denver has trusted this family-owned boutique eye care center for premium vision care, custom eyewear, and expert repairs. See the Stack Optical difference today. Call 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. And tell them Scott sent you. Stack Optical. Since 1968, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Your Money Matters. My name is Scott Watley. We are glad you are with us. Kurt Rogers is here, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. All right, Kurt, let's get into bridge loans. We've heard that term, and we've certainly gone over it through the years. But for those that aren't familiar with that term, let us know what that's about.
A bridge loan is a loan to where we're going to move. We're going to sell our house here. We want to buy another house over here. But if I go to apply for this house, let's say the house I want to buy is $800,000, and I'm going to put 20% down, so I'm going to put $160,000. Well, where do I have the $160,000? Do I have it in the equity of my home, or do I have it in the bank? Well, then I got the lenders look at it to where you got to qualify for the payment on the new home, which is $640,000, plus the payment on the house you got. That's where most people have a hard time. Qualifying for both loans.
Right.
Bridge loans, there are three different types of bridge loan. One's a guaranteed buyback. And what that means is I'm going to try to explain this slowly.
Okay.
You're going to sell your house, and there's $200,000 worth of equity in it. So you call them up, and they give you a guaranteed purchase price. They're going to say, we will buy this home from you for this dollar amount. You sign the contract, say, okay, fine. We will now finance you on the next home. We will not count the payment on the loan that we just did over here by paying that off. The fact that we're making you that bid, we're not going to count that payment against you.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to count this one, and we're going to give you the money out of your home for the down payment for this one. That's called a guaranteed buyback. So this way, you can move into the next house and then sell yours. Now, why would you do that? Well, maybe you want to fix yours up before you sell it to get top dollar. Maybe you need to cash out to put down to buy this home. But what happens is once you purchase that new home, they will then give you 180 days to sell your home at whatever price you want to sell it at above the offer they gave you, and you get to keep the money.
Okay.
So they've kind of given you the best of both worlds. So it allows you to make that offer and move forward.
Right.
It allows you to go out there and maybe find a new build and say, this is what we want to buy, and you get that financing. That's one of the great ways it works. The other one's called instant equity. Instant equity is if you decide you don't want to sell your home, but you need the cash out of your current home to buy that house, they will in turn do the same thing. They will give you the equity out of your home now to spend it where you want. And you don't have to sell your home. They're just going to do the loan on the next side.
Hmm.
So okay. It gives you different ways of looking at it. You may not have enough cash down. Maybe you've got...
So for people that may be short.
Short.
On some cash.
Yeah. Some cash down. That's where this really comes into play. Or they want to buy a house, but they don't want to sell theirs first. They want to take their time and they want it to get max dollars. I've seen people do that and get a whole lot more money than what the guaranteed bid is. But they were able to buy both homes. And one of the last ones is, it's called a cash offer. What this one does is allows you to take the cash out of your home, if you have enough cash, and just pay cash for the new home. You just buy the new home and then turn around and sell yours, but they use yours as equity.
Okay.
So again, they're giving you a guaranteed buyback price. And each one of these, they're going to guarantee you, let's say it's a $600,000 house, and they say, we'll give you five, guaranteed. After you move in, you turn around and try to sell it. Maybe the market's now 6.25 because you got 6 months, sell the home.
Okay, so that was my next question. What's your time frame, 6 months?
6 months from the time you close on the new home, you have 6 months to sell the old home, previous home. And if you should choose not to sell it, you can refinance and turn it into a rental. I mean, there's options here that give you different opportunity depending on what you want to do. But it can help you bridge that gap. That's why they call them bridge loans. Bridge the gaps from moving from the primary now to the new primary. It's not normally somebody's first home or second home. It's normally their fourth or fifth home. They're getting to their almost forever home. Is where you see most consumers that look at this.
And one of the points you have here, too, is it puts yourself ahead of some others, maybe.
Especially on cash.
Yeah,
because if you decide to take the equity out now and do that type, you have your money in 10 days. Mm-hmm. So this is a cash close, which gives you more buying power on that home. And then once you've done that, you got 180 days to sell yours after you close on this one.
Okay. Interesting.
Very nice loan.
Yeah. But this just shows why you need somebody like yourself that one has the time but takes the time to just sit down with somebody, kind of go through an interview process of what they're trying to do and accomplish and to find out what's best for them. I mean, everybody's situation is different.
Most customers, when they call, they know how a standard 80-20 loan works. They know what ARMs are. They know what buy-downs are. They know VA. They know conforming. They know FHA. But they don't know that there are loans out there that can really save them a whole lot of money. There's some new loan programs that have come out at the beginning of this year that I'll go over the next couple months that are just, they're very good for people. That gives them other opportunities. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Understanding those, whether you use them or not.
Yeah.
But knowing that there might be another alternative.
Right.
To make that, like the 2-1, most customers didn't know about it. Now, I will tell you one thing about the 2-1 buy-down. When rates get too low, that's going away.
Yeah.
When rates get down around 5, and they're going to be down around 2% on a 3-2-1 buy-down, the banks aren't going to offer that. That's why they quit last time, when they get too low. So there's this happy little medium, and we think that that's going to be from a 5.25 and up.
Right. And again, one of the big advantages people have with you, you're an independent broker, so to speak, and you work with a lot of companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, for just a single guy operation, man, you work with a
48.
Lot.
I have 48 different lenders. And each lender, I mean, they have loans that overlap, but each lender has probably at least 10 or 15 that are unique to them. that they like. They're called portfolio loans. So they like those, and they're really good at them, like bank statement loans or second mortgage reverse loans. There's all different types of loan products out there that can help you get somewhere, but you may not know about them. Somebody working for a brick and mortar is not going to they're not going to know those.
Right. Last two or three minutes here, but let's talk about credit score a little bit. And we spent some time on that a few weeks ago, just talking about credit scores. But the more I talk to people, the more I still know they don't understand really about how credit bureaus work and how credit works. And, you know, putting everything. I talked to a guy just the other day, and he was talking about refinance home. And I gave him your number, and I said, you know, now's a good time to do it, just to talk with him about, you know, getting ready for spring. And he goes, oh, well, I only use one credit card and stuff. And that may work out good for him. Needless to say, I didn't get into his personal stuff. But, I mean, you never know if you're maximizing that one and that's hurting you. Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing how the credit score comes, you can go online and say, what goes into my credit score? Just type that in. And it'll give you the five items that go in there and what percentage of score that covers. Mm-hmm. Paying your bills on time is 37%.
Right.
Having the right mix between your payoff and your limit on your credit cards is 32% of your score. Whether you have one or 10 cards, they don't care. Mm-hmm. It's not about the numbers, it's about the gap. So understanding what makes up your score and how you can manipulate it to get a higher score. My first thing that I recommend to everybody, and I do it every time we talk about this, you need to go to optoutprescreen.com. It's a simple website, optoutprescreen.com. Type in your name, your address, your social, your date of birth. It will then opt you out from them selling your information for 5 years. Mm. Because when you go to buy a car and a car dealership runs your credit, the credit bureau companies will sell that information to anybody who wants it for $5, basically.
Right.
So these companies buy that information. They start bombarding you with phone calls. Oh, I understand you're doing this. I understand you're doing... Well, that's not what you want. You don't need 40 or 50 calls because you never know which one's going to be accurate. So opt out. Then understand what goes into your score. And understanding those numbers, if you have questions, you can call me and I can tell you how to improve your score without really spending any money.
Sure.
You don't have to buy your credit card debt down to get a bigger gap. There's times you can ask the credit card company to raise it. Now, that doesn't mean you spend more.
Right.
It just means you raise it.
Right.
So understanding your credit score, it's the biggest thing that impacts the cost of your loan, period. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that matters more about how we get to the cost of what it takes you to buy a home than your credit score.
Right.
The better the score, the lower you're going to spend.
Yep. Kirk can help you out. 720-895-0500. It's affordable interest mortgage. Kirk, we appreciate your time. We'll look forward to our show next week.
You got it.
Do you need to do a disclosure?
NMLS 217-147, regulated by DOR, and we are an equal credit lender.
See, we've been doing this a long time, but I forget that every once in a while.
Every now and then.
All right. Thanks for being with us today for Your Money Matters. Don't go anywhere. More coming back right here on Haystack Help Radio.